الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم صدق الله العظيم.
We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon the greatest of all creation, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again we remind ourselves that it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us that we have been blessed with the honor of listening to the teachings of the Holy Quran. Respected brothers, as promised, last week we spoke about the situation of the disbelievers, the sinful people on the day of Qiyamah. Today, inshaAllah ta'ala, will be the more enjoyable side of discussions. InshaAllah, today we will discuss the situation and description of the people, the good people, on the day of Qiyamah, and some discussions and some descriptions of the kind of Jannah that has been prepared for them and the kind of Jannah that they will enjoy. However, to begin with, we remind ourselves of one narration Imam Bukhari rahimahullah has brought on the authority of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala, and this is known as Al-Hadith Al-Qudsi, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly quotes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's directly quotes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but those verses, that speech is not part of the Quran. And Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الله تعالى أعددت لعبادتي الصالحين ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر رواه البخاري. أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه reports that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said that Allah سبحانه وتعالى said that I have prepared for my pious servants such things that no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, and no heart has ever even thought about. So the descriptions that we find in the Quran and Hadith, this Hadith makes us understand that what we find in the Quran and Hadith is not even a percentage of that which is the reality of Jannatul Firdaus. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with its eventual entry, with its entry bila hisab, bila kitab, without any accounting, and with hisab and yasira, and without any difficulties. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the life of sunnah, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with a death upon the kalima, and what is known as al-husnul khatima, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the status of the shuhada. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enter us into the pious servants on the day of Qiyamah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that on that day, wujuhun yawma idhin na'imah. On that day, so initially we spoke about the disbelieving faces. So on that day, other faces, some faces will be radiant, na'imah. Now, one reminder that we speak about Jannah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoke about Jannah in the Holy Quran. And one of the benefits of this is that we then feel inspired to do good, so that we can earn Jannah and we can be rewarded with Jannah. However, we pray that our iman and our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on and transcends this to the point where it's not Jannah that is our focus. Rather, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself that is our focus. Our aim should not be that I want to get to Jannah. Our aim should be that I want Allah. I want Allah. فَمَنْ وَجَدَ اللَّهِ وَجَدَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Whoever has got Allah, he has got everything. And this should be our aim, that I want to be the friend of Allah. I want to make my Allah happy. And likewise, when we discuss Jahannam, it makes us fear. It's so scary. We don't want to sin anymore. But our reason for not sinning shouldn't be that I don't want to enter Jahannam. Our reason for not sinning should be I don't want to make my Allah unhappy. Because that's more important. Our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love that we have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that should be more important than the repercussions of our action. It should be, no, I don't want to make my Allah unhappy. That's why when people, including myself, we get too interested in things that are makruh. You know, halal, permissible, makruh. It's only makruh. What does makruh mean? An action that is disliked. Our thought shouldn't be that it's makruh. It's only makruh. It's not haram. Because first of all, when you keep doing makruh, you'll end up in haram. Our thought should be that if I do this, will my Allah get unhappy? And that's why I'm not going to do it. Yeah? So these categories of fard, wajib, sunnah are simply there so that we understand if we need to do qadha of our namaz or repeat an action or things like that. But from a perspective of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we shouldn't even be going anywhere near the makruha, because our thought should be that, oh, my Allah will get unhappy. I don't want to make my Allah unhappy. And this is the crux of the matter. And this is what our aim should be, that I want to develop and improve my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on that day some faces will be radiant, لِسَعْيِهَا رَاضِيَةً. They will be with their endeavors, with their efforts, they will be pleased. This means that the good people, they will have worked so hard all of their lives, staying away from bad, doing good, fulfilling the obligations that Allah has set upon us and making Allah happy. When they see the reward, they will be more than happy with the amazing blessings and indescribable rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. Fi jannatin 'aliyah. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, firstly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described their faces on the day of Qiyamah. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings a few descriptions of what the Jannah will be like. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Fi jannatin aliyah," in lofty gardens, in high gardens. In one verse in Surah Saba, verse 37, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wahum fil ghurufati aminun," and they will be in their upper chambers at peace. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, "La tasma'u fiha laghia." You will not in the Jannah, you will not hear idle talk. Laghia, laghu, it means useless talk, idle talk. The Mufassirin write, this includes any indecent topics, indecent words, inappropriate topics, things that people don't like to hear. This includes all words of kufr and disbelief, swearing, cursing, false accusations, lies, rumors, backbiting. All of these things, words that aggravate people, words that make people angry, all of these things are things that we do not like. This will include anything and every single thing that gives people discomfort. Remember, and you'll see this theme throughout these descriptions, that anything that Jannah is free of anything that will cause us even the slightest bit of discomfort. Along with this, we learn another lesson, that one of the ways of reaching Jannah is not to do this in the world as well. In Jannah, there'll be no backbiting. In Jannah, there'll be no lies. In Jannah, there'll be no swearing. No, all of these indecent and inappropriate things. No talk of haram. Yeah? So if we want to reach Jannah, then if we do these things in the world, we stay away from these things in the world, then inshallah, we will be blessed with Jannah as well. This is one of the ways that we can lessen the load of our sins. I mean, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. In Surah Waqi'ah, verse 25, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "La yasma'una fiha lawan wala ta'thima." In Jannah, the people of Jannah will not hear idle talk, they will not hear absurd talk, and they will not hear talk that leads one to sins. This gives us further context that even in the dunya, we should not lead to talk of things that may lead us to sin. For example, if you're with your friends and you're sat and we're talking, and then suddenly we start talking about women, or we start talking about drugs, it is very much possible that the more we talk about women, we might end up going on the phone and looking at pornography. We might end up going out, you know, into the town and checking out the women there. If you talk about drugs, it's very much possible that we say, you know what? We've talked this much about it, let's try it out. So sometimes the first the thoughts happen and then the speech and then the actions. So we should try to our best to avoid even talk, such talk that will lead one to sin as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from committing these sins. In another place in Surah Naba, it'll come up soon inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "La yasma'una fiha lagwa wala kithaba." They will not hear in Jannah idle talk, nor will they hear any lies. There will be no such thing as lying in Jannah. And then in Surah Maryam, ayah 62, verse 62, Allah says, "La yasma'una fiha lagwan illa salama." That in Jannah there will be no idle talk except greetings of peace. Everybody will be happy, everybody will get along, there will be no fights, no jealousy, no arguments, no beef, as we say, yeah? Nothing like that in Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with these blessings. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Fiha aynun jariyah." In Jannah there will be springs flowing. Aynun jariyah. In one hadith in Sahih ibn Hibban, on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Anhaaru al-jannati tafjuru min tahti tilanin aw qala min tahti jibal al-miski." That the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that the rivers of Jannah will flow under mountains or hills of musk. Subhanallah al-azim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with these blessings. In the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Fiha sururum marfu'a." in Jannah, fiha, in Jannah, sururum marfu'a. There will be couches, marfu'a, raised high. These, Ibn Hafiz Ibn Kathir rahimullah writes, that these will be large couches with plenty of space to lay, with high ceilings above them, on which will be the most voluptuous hurul een. The women of Jannah will be reclining upon these couches. Subhanallah al-Azim. Such descriptions, when we think of the women of Jannah, and then one of the good things about discussing the women of Jannah is that after this, when we look at what we may be sacrificing for a few temporary moments of bliss in this dunya, for women that Allah has made haram upon us, inshallah it will inspire us to never ever even think about a ghair mahram woman ever again in our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from such evil thoughts. Wallahi, the women of Jannah, they are pure. In the Quran, there are many, many descriptions of the women of Jannah. They will be beautiful, full bosomed. In one verse, it says, "Uruban ataraba." This is very important. "Uruban ataraba." What does this mean? This means that they will be loving and devoted to their husbands only. Look at the haram women of this world, and this is not generalizing women, of course. He's talking about the women that Allah, who are sinful, who are not so religious. We find them, we see them on the streets. May Allah protect our women. They are barely clothed and we lust after them. Yet, they are the attention, they are the center of attention for every other man on the entire street as well. And they look towards every man and they invite this kind of attention towards themselves. And we are lusting after them. My respected brothers, the women of Jannah will lust after no one except for you. They will be designed specifically and especially for you. They will be designed solely for your pleasure. They will look at you only and nobody else. And nobody else will have that lust to look after, to look and chase after them. My respected brothers, it is of extreme importance that we take care of ourselves in this dunya. We do not want to be left out in the akhirah. The prize of the akhirah cannot be compared to what we have in this world. Respected brothers, if we understood the reality of these verses, wallahi, Allah, we would never look at the haram and haram women of this world again. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to only look at our wives. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to only fulfill our desires with our wives. Look at the beauty of Islam. One day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba that when a person fulfills his desire with his wife, he is rewarded with he is given the reward of sadaqah. So the Sahaba radhiyallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, "Ya Rasulullah, we are fulfilling our desires and we get rewarded. Why is this?" So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, "O my Sahaba, if you had fulfilled your desire in a haram place, would you have been sinful?" So they said, "Yes, of course we would have been sinful." So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, "Then why would you not be rewarded for fulfilling it in a halal place?" Subhanallah al-Azim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given his answers for everything. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to protect ourselves, men and women, from committing any forms of zina, whether it's simply looking or whether it is committing the formidable act. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. The prizes of Jannah, the rewards of Jannah are waiting for us eagerly. Let us not compromise that which is more for in exchange for that which is much, 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 much less. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. In Surah Al-Waqi'ah, they are described as uruban atraba, devoted to their husbands, kawa'iba atraba. They are described as being equal age, fully bosomed, voluptuous. Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimahullah writes, that these couches will be high, they'll be raised. When the friend of Allah intends to rest on these, the Hurul Ain, they will lay down on these couches in preparation for him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with these blessings of Jannat al-Firdaus. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Ibn al-Hadith, on the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, Imam Tirmizi rahimullah brings this hadith on the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala an. He says, he narrates from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to this verse, وَفُرُشٍ مَرْفُوعَ. He says, إِرْتِفَاعُهَا لَكَمَا بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ مَسِيرَةَ خَمْسَ مِئَةِ سَنَةِ. That if we talk about raised, so we think, you know, a few feet, 10 feet. It says that they are so high, these couches are so high that from us to the couch, there will be the distance of a journey of 500 years. 500 years. Imam Tirmizi rahimahullah has brought this hadith. However, when they will be this high, when a person intends to rest on them, they will lower themselves, ready for him to take a rest. Imam Baghawi rahimahullah has mentioned a narration of Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. He says that the couches will be designed with gold, and they will be made of gold, designed with emeralds, pearls, and rubies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَكْوَابٌ مَوْضُوعَ, and goblets well placed. Akwab means, it's the plural of kub, and this word means any utensil that a person drinks from. And mawdu'a means that they are appropriately placed. So what this means is, what is an appropriate place for a drinking utensil? Exactly where your drink is. So if you keep your drinks or your bottles of water in a cupboard, it's very appropriate for you to have your cups next to the drink. Why? It's a very, very deep point here. It's an amazing point. Why? Because when you feel thirsty, you go to the water, and it's nice for the cup to be right there, so you pour it and you have a drink. Now sometimes what happens is, we go to the tap, or where the water is, or where the drink is, and you get the bottle, and then you can't find the cup. So you look here, you look there, you look in the, and then you find it. So you know them moments, then sometimes it's 10 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, then 10, 20, 30 seconds, there are moments of discomfort. There are moments of not nice moments. So there are moments of discomfort because you're thirsty and you're not finding the cup. And sometimes it might only be 10 or 20 seconds. So in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that وَأَكْوَابٌ مَوْضُوعَ means that exactly where your drink is, your cup will be, because Allah will not give the jannati even them 10 seconds of discomfort. Subhanallah al-Azim. Every form, no matter how miniature of discomfort, has been taken away from Jannah. There is not even a second of discomfort in Jannah. To this point, the specific detail, and you mentioned at the beginning, this is not even the entire description of Jannah. This is just what Allah has given us. Besides that, مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ, no eye has seen, no ear has heard about, no heart has thought about. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enter us into Jannah al-Firdaus. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. The Mufassirin, they also take out a point from here, and they say that we should behave like this in the world as well. We should put things in appropriate places. And then they expand on this, that not just the cup and the water, where the cup should be near the water, but everything else as well. For example, the toilet roll should be near the toilet. So whoever goes to the toilet, then they're not having discomfort. The slippers should be outside of the bathroom. So before you go in, they're appropriately placed. The towel should be wherever people wash their hands, so that they can dry them straight away, etc. When you walk in, and it's just tiniest things that you don't think about. But when you design a house, the electricians, they normally place the switches in certain places, so it's easy for you. So as soon as you walk in, the switch will be there. If they put the switch on the other side of the room, every day you'd have to walk through a dark room and find the switch in the dark. So they think of these things. We should also behave like this. Also, when we use these facilities, we should replace them exactly where you got it from. What happens with us is, the slippers will be outside the bathroom. Very good, I've enjoyed this luxury. So I use the slippers, and I go to the toilet, and then I might just leave the slippers inside, or walk away with them. And next person comes to the toilet, there's no slippers there, so they have to go and find them, causing them difficulty. So like this, we should firstly put things in appropriate places when we use them, and then we should replace them correctly as well. Like this, we will give other people comfort and allow them to also take advantage of these adabs and etiquettes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. وَنَمَارِكُ مَصْفُوفَ وَزَرَابِيُّ مَبْثُوثَ. And cushions, مَصْفُوفَ, well-placed, وَزَرَابِيُّ مَبْثُوثَ, and carpets spread around. These verses mean that everywhere in Jannah there will be places where there's carpet and cushions so that we can rest. You know, sometimes when we want to rest, you feel tired, so you have to go upstairs, or you have to go to the other side of the room to lie down. So that going there is a little bit of discomfort. So Allah is saying, no, you don't even have to do that. Wherever you are, if you want to rest, you can sit and you can rest there. Everything's ready for you. Everything is ready for you, wherever you are, whatever you want. Allah has made it like this. Such beautiful, and we should be so grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given us these descriptions. In one hadith narrated on the authority of Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala an, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said one day to his sahaba, أَلَا مُشَمِّرٌ لِلْجَنَّةِ فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ لَا خَطَرَ لَهَا هِيَ وَرَبِّ الْكَعْبَةِ نُورٌ يَتَلَأْلَأْ. He said to the sahaba that who is ready to strive hard for Jannah, because Jannah, there is nothing similar to Jannah. He says, I take the qasam of the Rabb of the Kaaba, Jannah is sparkling light. وَرَيْحَانَةٌ تَحْتَزُّ basil blowing in the breeze. وَقَصْرٌ مَشِيد lofty palaces. وَنَهْرٌ مُطَرِّد flowing rivers. وَفَاكِهَةٌ كَثِيرَةٌ نَضِيجَةٌ ripe fruit in abundance. كَثِيرَ means plentiful. وَزَوْجَةٌ حَسَنَاء جَمِيلَةٌ beautiful wives in Jannah. وَحُلَلٌ كَثِيرَةٌ and plentiful garments, plenty of various type of clothes. في مقام أبد in a place of eternity. في حبرة ونظرة في دار عالية سليمة بهية. That in a place where it's full of ease and luxury and beautiful, strongly built houses. قالوا نحن المشمرون لها يا رسول الله. The Sahaba said, يا رسول الله, we are ready to strive for Jannah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قُولُوا inshaAllah. Say inshaAllah. So today we also say, inshaAllah, نَحْنُ مُشَمِّرُونَ لِلْجَنَّةِ. We are also ready to strive for Jannah. May Allah, let us make an intention today that we strive, and inshaAllah this time will come when we will also enter into Jannatul Firdaws in the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One quotation I remember reading, one person must have been one of the pious people of the past. He said to another individual that, Sifli al-Jannah, describe Jannah to me. I want to be inspired by Jannah. So the answer was one sentence. He said, Fiha Rasulullah. Rasulullah is in Jannah. If Rasulullah is in Jannah, that's enough for us. Allah, that's enough for us. You say to me that Rasulullah is in Jannah and don't tell me anything else, I will inshallah be ready to strive for Jannah. Rasulullah is one of the greatest blessings that we will find in Jannah. This is all just extra. The opportunity to be able to sit and look at the beautiful face of my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that in itself should aspire us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. And from here on, and now the time has finished, but inshallah, from here on end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses those people who do not believe in Jannah, and they do not believe in the resurrection and the hereafter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites them to take a look at some of the wonders of nature in which lie the evidence and proof of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then lastly, we have direct address to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of the surah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to act upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the true love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the true love of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the true understanding of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the true love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like I said at the beginning, our aim should be, I want Allah and I want Rasulullah. And Jannah is nice, it's just a bonus. The real prize is getting that friendship and becoming part of the close servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and getting proximity to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah and in the Firdaus al-A'la. Allahumma inna nas'aluka murafaqata nabiyyina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fil Firdaus al-A'la wa nas'alu murafaqata alladhina kanu ma'ahu fi ghazawat ka Badrin wa Hunain wa azwajihi wa ahli al-bayt wa shaykhayn wa al-khatanayn. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.